come on in and grab a seat. We're down at the Bidon for more cycling, a chat, and apparently the world's hardest pub quiz. I am your landlord and quizmaster, Tom, and as ever, I am joined by my lovely cast of regulars, Dan.
Hello.
Anna.
Hi.
And Katie.
Hello.
There has been a lot of racing action over the past couple of weeks with both the Dauphiné and the Tour de Suisse, but before we get stuck into the quiz, we need, of course, to get the drinks in. Now, like everybody in the cycling community, we were shocked and saddened by the passing of Gino Maeder of Bahrain Victorious last week after his crash at the Tour de Suisse. So we decided that this week the fitting thing to do would be to raise a glass in his memory. So I've taken the liberty of ordering 4 Lucerne Apple and Pear Schnapps, and we hope that all of you can join us in raising a glass to Gino. To Gino.
To Gino.
To Gino.
It's sad to think, because of the very nature of the sport and its inherent risk, that this isn't the first, or sadly possibly the last, rider that we are mourning the loss of. And for me, it can question my passion and my love of the sport. But in the past, and with Gino's passing, it brings me back to why I cycle and why I fell in love with it and the sport in the first place. I tried to write some for myself to sum this up, but I instead found the words elsewhere. So I'd just like to read a short poem for you all by Joyce Elliott called The Cyclist. Wheeling through the beautiful countryside, far from the city's commotion. Alone, just me, my bike, my thoughts, the joy of quiet motion. The birds in the nearby bubbling brook are the only sounds that I hear. The click of the free wheel, of course, and the wind whistling by my ear. The beauty and peace it brings my way is difficult to describe. For we who bike for pleasure belong to a different tribe. Some travel afar, others stay nearby. Some pedal fast, some slow, but in common with the lot of us is the desire to just go. Rest in peace, Gino. Okay, so as usual, we will move on with our weekly quiz. If we just have a quick look at the scores so far, at the top, in first and second place on 7 points, is Dan and Katie. Dan is in the lead by virtue of 2 wins to Katie's 1. And bringing up the rear on 5 points is Anna. So Anna's got it all to play for this week.
I prefer to think of it as fashionably late.
So we'll move straight into question one, shall we? Question number one. Mark Cavendish will relinquish his British Champions jersey this weekend as he is not currently listed to start the race in the northeast of England. He is one of 10 riders who have won the race 2 times. He is, however, only 2nd on the list of most successful riders in the British Championships. Who is the rider in first? And just to clarify, he also has 2 wins, but has more podiums than Cav.
I know.
Confident.
It's a tough one, that one.
Moving on to question number two. Jonas Vingegaard showed he is in excellent form ahead of the Tour de France by taking the overall general classification and 2 stage wins at the Criterium Dauphiné. However, before his Tour de France victory last year, how many general classification wins had Jonas taken?
Do you have to name it, or... Then.
I mean, if you know it, that I mean, that's very impressive, and you'll get brownie points.
I'm all about the brownie points.
Question number three. There was more beef being served up by FDJ recently with the news that Arnaud Démare was set to miss out on the Tour de France after being told he'd be riding it earlier in the year. With Madio preferring a swan song for Pinot ahead of supporting a sprinter in France or a law servant for their GC man, David Gaudu. With Démare in mind, how many Grand Tour stages has he won?
You're not giving us brackets for this, are you?
Nah. Closest will get a point, but...
Oh, good.
Yeah. Hopefully someone gets it back on.
I think I know how many wins he's had in total, but then again, I've been proved wrong to not know things. I'm just going to guess.
Have you been revising again, Anna?
No, I haven't.
Always goes so well.
Always does really well for me for revising, so I thought I'd give up on that.
Moving on to question number 4. It wouldn't be right if we didn't make Gino Mader the subject of one of our questions in this week's quiz, so we will do so by celebrating one of his best results. Gino took the youth classification in 2021 of the Vuelta and fifth in the overall, but what I want to know is how many stages did he ride in the white jersey?
What year was it?
2021.
21, yeah.
It was one of the years that Primoz Roglic won it. But that doesn't narrow it down.
That doesn't narrow it down, no.
Finally, moving on to question 5. The 2023 British Road Race Championships takes place on a brutal course of 189 kilometres with over 4,000 metres of climbing this weekend on the coast in northeast England. This week, instead of higher or lower, we're going to do a game of longer or shorter. So what I want to know is, in 2022, was the British Road Race Championship longer or shorter than 189 kilometres? As usual, we will go through and mark as we go. So, let's go to you, Katie, first. Is it longer or shorter than 189 kilometres?
I can picture it brilliantly, like the whole race. I've watched all of it, but I can't remember how many kilometres it was. I'm going to go shorter.
Dan?
Yeah, shorter.
And Anna?
Well, I'd be foolish to say anything but shorter.
Unfortunately, you're all incorrect. The answer was actually longer.
Oh my god!
Mark Cavendish took the win over 201 kilometres. But yeah, seeing as you all got it wrong,
that is really long.
We're carry on because yeah, we're all the same.
I remember how it was just such a grim
day.
It took
me far too long than it should have to research this because British Cycling website is awful.
Let's have a do-over. I bet I can guess what we're all going for on the next one.
So we move on. So Castle Douglas was at 201 kilometres and we move now back to Lincoln the year before in 2021. And we should all know this because we were there. Was that longer or shorter than 201 kilometres, Anna?
I think that might be shorter, Tom.
Okay. Dan?
Shorter.
And Katie?
I think it was shorter.
All correct. Ben Swift took the win, as we know. We saw him cross the line. It was 166 kilometres, so therefore shorter than Castle Douglas a year later. We have to skip a year because in 2020 the Nationals did not take place because of COVID. So we go back to 2019 and Norwich. Ben Swift won again, but did he win on a course that was longer or shorter than 166 kilometres? Let's go with you first, Dan, this time.
Longer, I think.
Anna?
Longer.
And Katie?
Yeah, I'd say longer.
All correct. Mm-hmm. Again, it was another one that just went over 200 kilometres at 201.5 kilometres. 2018 saw the peloton take on the race in Stamfordham. Stamfordham in Northumberland. Katie, you'll be able to tell me if I'm pronouncing that wrong.
Stamfordham. Stamfordham.
Connor Swift started the Swift dynasty of British championships that year, but did he do so on a course that was longer or shorter than 201.5 kilometres? Katie?
Shorter.
Anna?
Shorter.
Dan?
Shorter.
All correct again. And we move back to the Isle of Man in 2017, where Steve Cummins took the British Championships, I believe riding for Dimension Data at the time, but did he do so on a course that was longer or shorter than 185.6 kilometres? Dan?
Longer.
Anna?
Oh, shorter.
Katie?
Longer.
It was just a tad longer, 197.3 kilometres. So there we go. That's the end of, well, longer or shorter this week. The scores on the doors are Katie 4, Dan 4 and Anna 3. Before we move back to the other answers. So, sticking with the nationals, we go back to question one, where we were trying to discover who was the most successful rider in British Championship history. Katie, I'm going to come to you first.
Is it Ben Swift?
Dan?
Is it Ben Swift?
Anna?
Oh, well, I'm guessing that I put Bradley Wiggins because I had absolutely no idea and I didn't really understand the question. But there you go.
Well, unfortunately, you're all wrong.
Oh.
It was Peter Kenyock.
Ah.
Oh, really?
Peter Kenyock has won the Nationals twice, finished second twice, and finished third twice. He has six podiums, which is more than anybody. Mark Cavendish has two wins, one second, and two bronze places off the top of my head. So, yeah, he is the most successful British Championship rider in the road race in history.
Oh, well done, Peter.
Yeah.
Quite impressive considering his relatively early retirement age.
Yeah, very much.
So, moving on to question two, we were talking about Jonas Vingegaard and his GC wins prior to the Tour de France. How many do you think he won? I'm going to go to you first, Anna, because Dan was pretty confident that he could name it as well. So, what do you think, Anna?
Well, I've put one.
Katie?
No.
I put one, and I think I know what it was as well.
And Dan?
I put one, and I think it was Tour of Poland.
Ah, that's not what I've got.
You were all correct. You were all correct. He has only won one. It was not the Tour of Poland.
Ah.
What did you think it was, Katie?
Can I go? Settimana Cyclista?
No, it was...
I think that's what
it was. Coppi e Bartoli in 2021.
No? Yeah, that's what
oh,
she
that's
said.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. That is the
Have
same
thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
No, it's got that bit at the beginning.
It's got one of those races that has like a really
it's
long
It's Settimana Coppi e Bartoli. So there you go.
Yeah. I'm getting the bonus point, man.
Bonus point. I said brownie points.
I got the race right.
Brownie points.
I can't. What can I do with brownie points?
You can give her the point. It's a small race.
It's not going to do me anything, is it?
Bye.
So I'm putting a point for that. You all want me to put a point for that?
Yeah. Oh, come on, landlord. Right. Sort it out.
All right.
Hey.
You owe me a drink, Katie.
Yeah, I do.
So I suppose one of the main takeaways from the Dauphiné wasn't necessarily Jonas winning, but it was more the other GC contenders seemingly ignoring he was a factor in the race. We saw him.
Well.
I mean, you saw him ride away from his opposition without any of them really giving him a fight. What was your take on that?
They couldn't really do anything, could they? Come on.
Yeah, they didn't really try, though, did they? They didn't back together and think, oh, you know, we could close the gap a little bit. They all just kind of did nothing.
But it reminded me, did it not remind you guys a bit of the same, it had the same vibe as some of the earlier classics season when Pog was there.
Yeah.
And the chasing group just didn't really bother.
Yeah.
It was almost like they were like, okay, he's gone. Let's now just fight for second place. Like there seems to be this mentality now in the peloton of once one of those superhuman guys is up the road, that's it. We might as well just pack it in.
Yeah.
They did kind of like give up.
Well, at least Adam Yates gave it a bit of a fight for a little bit.
He did in the end, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of them did try and encourage the others, but there's certain riders, I won't say their name, Tom, who really didn't make any effort to try and chase anything down.
I think that's because he couldn't.
I don't think it was an ability thing.
He's saving all his energy to take the yellow jersey on stage one in the Basque Country at the Tour de France.
I can't wait to see it.
Well,
I will buy a Lander t-shirt.
His teammate probably wants to win it.
You all laughed at me when I said he was going to podium the Giro, and what did he do?
We did laugh at you a lot, didn't we? Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Deservedly so, I think, but, you know.
Moving on to question three, we are back with Arnaud Démare, and we were trying to figure out how many Grand Tour stages he'd won in
Grand
total.
Tour.
What did I say?
Huh?
You said Grand Tour just then. Yeah.
Yeah. Grand Tour.
You said Grand Tour in the question.
Yeah, I might have misheard that earlier. So, that's what I'm saying. Oh.
This should be the Anna Miss Here's Questions podcast.
That is what I'm
Anna,
really
just
hoping
listen to
for.
Me and Dan saying go in the middle. And you'll be spot on. Bet
so
you you'll be spot on.
How many Grand Tour stages has he won then? Let's go with... No, I won't go to Anna first. That's mean. Let's go to Dan.
I'm going to guess 6.
Katie?
I've gone 10.
Anna?
I'm going to go 15.
He has won 10 Grand Tour stages. Yes. Well done.
I'm regretting giving you that point now.
Ah, well. You know.
Then's the break.
I just know things. I drink and I know things.
I drink and I know things.
Whereas I just drink and don't know things.
I've got
either,
a mug that literally says that. So true.
Love that.
So 10 Grand Tour stage victories, 8 of which came at the Giro across the 2019, 2020 and 2022 editions, and 2 Tour de France victories in the 2017.
I literally have that, by the way. Can I have a bonus point? I can
and
2018. I can screenshot.
Yeah, go ahead, have all the bonus points.
We have enough of the bonus points.
We've got Giro 8, Tour 2.
Which we're cooling just... down on the bonus points now, I think.
No. We should heat up on them.
So, more drama FDJ then. It's like a Toby Carvery on a Sunday with the amount of beef that's flying out of their kitchen.
I don't know what was flying.
That took me by surprise. Carry on.
That was a good one.
Well done, Tom.
What do we make of Demar's exclusion from the tour team? And is it time he moves on?
It's a travesty, and he is moving on because he's been told he's out the door, so he hasn't really got much of a choice in the matter, but I hope that he goes to a team that respects him and gives him what he is owed as a fine sprinter.
It seems very at odds about what he's done for the team, that, you know, gets one form of treatment and he's got a different form of treatment, and it seems very unfair to me.
Have you seen who they're sending to the Tour de France other than Bidou and Pino?
Yeah, I have, and there's some questionable choices.
It's not exactly, you know, on par with Demar, to rhyme for a moment.
I'm sorry, but like the team that they were suggesting they were going to put out, I was almost on board with. I could sort of understand from one angle, yes. But they've put, with the best will in the world, Lars Vandenberg and Quentin Pache, they could have substituted for Arnaud Demar plus Miles Scottson as a single lead out.
Yeah.
And you've got instantly a chance at 8 stage wins. I mean, obviously huge amounts of competition for those. But come on.
Yeah.
Like what are they now doing in those 8 stages other than just
Gaudu's got to podium now. Otherwise it's a waste of time. So it's either they've got to now overperform to be on par, basically.
Just I mean, I'd love Pino to take a win.
Yeah.
I mean,
Pino
KOM. That's not really. Of course, that's not his. That's not the canon of his story, is it?
No.
Immensely. I'm trying to say this really diplomatically.
I'm trying to say this with all due respect to Lars
Vandenberg.
He said
it himself. He's like the tragic, in the Unchained documentary, didn't he?
He's the tragic hero of it all, isn't he? He's like, oh, he nearly did it, but not quite. And we all love him, but if you're going there to win.
I also just think, like, Wout van Aert says he's not going for green. So it's like, well, okay, that takes one person out. Demar is, you know...
He's no slouch. He's won 10 Grand Tour stages.
He came third behind Binny and Wout in Suisse.
Yeah.
So, come on.
I mean, he's had a slow start to the year, but he had COVID and a baby, you know. But he's back.
And then, then he won in Brussels, and he's clearly proved that he's up.
Well, he's going to go to Arkea and royally show them what they're missing.
So moving on to question number 4, our final question, and it was Gino Maeder and his white jersey at the Vuelta in 2021. How many days did he spend riding in the jersey? I'm going to go to you, Anna, first.
How many stages? Or 2 stages, I think.
Dan?
I don't have a clue, so I'm going to guess 7.
And Katie?
I couldn't remember either. But I just have a feeling it was quite a long time, so I've gone 16.
Wow.
So
that's quite a gap here, isn't there? Yeah.
Well, the answer is actually 1.
Oh.
1, wow.
Oh.
Is that all?
Because he took it after, he took it after Bernal, didn't he? This is something.
Yes. He took the jersey on the penultimate stage. If you remember stage 20 of the 20th
World
Welter,
the chaos one.
It was the historic dummy spitting of Miguel Angel Superman Lopez.
Bernal,
who was in the youth jersey, he was left behind in the same group as Superman, while Gino and his Bahrain Victorious teammate, Jack Haig, made the front group, catapulting Haig onto the podium and Gino into the white jersey.
Oh. Well, so, like, I had the right reason, but just the wrong number.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was close, though. So that, gets a point for being
that's
close.
Why I was quite specific about how many stages he rode in.
See, I was close. Can I not
stage.
Have half a point? Because like, I knew why.
She can have half a point.
And I'm really doing shit. So
I'm going to give you a point for being the closest, Anne.
Thank you. I like pity points.
So that finishes the quiz, and we have the final scores for this week. Tied in second place, we have Dan and Anna on 5 points apiece. Well done, Dan and Anna.
Well done, me. Well done, Dan. Mm-hmm.
And taking her second win, Katie has stormed to victory by 2 clear points with 7 points.
Bravo, Katie.
Well done.
I'm taking a bow, you can't see who I am.
So Katie moves up to the top of the table with 10 points, Dan is now on 9 points, and Anna is still 2 points behind, but on 7 points this time.
So, I think what we need to have a quick chat about is the state of the Giro Donna and what's actually going on with it. I don't know if you guys have heard the sort of situation.
I don't know a lot.
I've heard by not hearing, I think, is the situation.
That's a very good way of putting it, actually. So, after, let's see, about 5 weeks prior to the race, we finally got some details of the stages. Just bear that in mind for a minute. Just think about the Tour de France and how far in advance we know the route
five
and the
Vuelta
and the Giro. And
full 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
5 weeks,
they
wow.
announced simply the start and finish destinations for each stage. A week tomorrow it starts, or a week on Friday, sorry.
Yeah.
We still don't have any profiles.
Wow.
Right.
Not brilliant. And there's now apparently some drama over whether the race is going to go ahead at all, because the Italian Federation have been put under pressure by the race organiser to help with the coverage, the TV coverage or something, which is all a bit, I don't know. It's the last year that this organiser is responsible for the race, thank goodness. Yeah. However, the sting in the tail is, if they can't put it on this year, it might be downgraded from a World Tour race to not a World Tour race anymore, which would be shocking.
Yeah.
For one of the three supposedly grand tours become distinctly less grand. So, bad news.
That is bad news. That's bad news all round.
Yeah, so we still don't know.
It's next year that RCS are taking over.
But obviously, if they've got a race to take over, they might not want to take it over if it's no longer a women's world tour.
Didn't that happen similar a couple of years ago with the TV coverage?
Giro Donna has been a state for a while, hasn't it? To be fair, it's been very up and down over the years. So yeah, we just don't know, essentially. So riders are left, you know, not knowing what they're racing on, if they're even travelling to Italy. Bit of a state. So all I can say is roll on the Tour de France femme avec Swift.
And that bell there means last orders at the bar, please, ladies and gents. And, well, I'll kick us off. Jumbo have made an announcement that Olav Koy has extended his contract, as well as apparently Tullet is signing for Jumbo-Visma.
Oh, wow.
What do we make of these signings, this extension and this apparent pinching of one of Ineos's young stars?
Well, can we just talk about the video for a second? Because it was the best plot twist I've seen in... Like, it had me completely. And then completely...
This is the Jumbo announcement video you're talking about,
Where you've got Jonas doing his little video call to Olav, saying goodbye, and Laporte as well. And then DS comes over the top and, hey, no, he's staying. Like, what? I thought he was going. So that's. I mean, I'm happy for him, actually. He gets to develop on one of the best team in the world, and probably. Yeah, hopefully do the Giro in 2024 or something, or even the Vuelta later this year.
See, I can see why he's staying at Jumbo. Obviously, they're the best team in the world, but I'm a bit disappointed, if I'm honest. He did an interview earlier this year that he apparently got told that he wasn't doing any Grand Tours this year.
Okay.
That suggests that he's probably not, and therefore next year he may get a Giro or, you know, a Vuelta place again, and, you know, that pushes his development back, I think.
You know, he's 21.
I think that also he's young, and yes, he has proven himself to be suddenly at an extremely high level, but they also have classics ambitions for him. He's more than just a pure sprinter. He's moulding himself into, or not moulding himself, I guess that sounds wrong, but he's kind of moving into a kind of Jasper Philipson type role, I'd say,
yeah.
Where
yeah.
he can kind of sprint very fast and compete in those bunches, but also he can ride fast up hills, he can do punchy, so he has a bit more, you know, he can ride on cobbles. He's got a bit more about him than just your kind of pure sprinters. So, and they've confirmed that they do want him to you know, to develop that side of his riding as well.
Yeah, I mean, he is young, I suppose, but I suppose what I can't help but think is that if he was on any other team, he would have ridden a Grand Tour this year, and he could possibly be riding the Tour de France next year. At Jumbo, I don't think there's a chance that he's going to ride the Tour de France during this contract. And I think that's a shame.
That is the one sticking point for me, yeah. Is the Tour de France. But overall, as Dan said, he does get to develop himself at an amazing team. And so by the time he reaches maybe his peak, he can move on to a team where he will get that chance, or perhaps by that time Wout will have decided he doesn't want to go for sprints at the Tour, or who knows.
Yeah, I mean, a Coy Van Aert duo is going to rival your Van der Poel Philipsen duo on the other side, so, you know,
with Laporte thrown in as
a Laporte as well, so yeah,
Jumbo Trident, whoever thought we'd see the day.
A Trident,
yeah.
No, right.
Just to bring it back to
Orlando. Basically, just write off all of next year's classics because they're going to 1, 2, 3 all.
They're going to SD Works.
They're basically the male SD Works, yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to 1, 2, 3 all the semi-classics and come home with no monuments again.
Ooh, sick burn.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to finish up those drinks. We have come to the end of the pod again. You don't have to go home, but you've got to get the hell out of here. It's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from them.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.